following is an unrehearsed interview with Mr. David Dotson of Adairville, Kentucky, for the Kentucky Oral History Commission. The interview is being conducted by John Clee, and we're conducting the interview at Brown's Warehouse right outside of Russellville. The date is October 4th, 1985. Mr. Dotson, I want to talk to you about fired dark tobacco.
Okay. Fire-cured
dark tobacco, right. Trying to get it right. And it's kind of a unique kind of crop to this area, isn't it?
It's pretty much unique to Logan County area. Mm-hmm. Northern and north central Tennessee, it's predominantly their crop in that area.
Uh-huh.
And, well, the basis of dark fire-cured, it was here before the dark air-cured.
Mm-hmm.
And
then both of those are here before Burley.
Correct.
Right.
Burley evolved from the north central parts of Kentucky.
Yeah, it's my territory.
And used to be in, like say, Logan County as a whole, there was no dark air cured bases in this area. It was predominantly dark fire cured.
Mm-hmm.
And during the evolution of time changing and grower techniques,
mm-hmm.
and allotments were allowed to be changed
into different types
according to preference.
Mm-hmm. They were allowed to be changed according to preference.
Right. I mean, uh-huh. You could grow an allotment of dark air cured in the, say, in respect to dark fire cured, which you've been growing over the years.
Nice.
Our farm in particular, as we were talking earlier, my granddad is 93,
mm-hmm.
and he was an old man in his early 60s before there was any dark air cured in this area.
Hmm.
So
it's really a fairly recent development then.
They always raise dark fire cured.
Uh-huh. So your personal history with this goes back from the youth?
In the family, yes.
Yeah, you've been growing this tobacco since you were. Has the way the dark fire cured has been grown. Has it changed very much over the years?
Varieties have changed as much as anything.
Is that right?
Uh-huh. Through the extension agencies and where they've improved on old established varieties and come up with the ones that have evolved out of, say, the University of Tennessee and have taken roots up here.
Now, what kind of the tobacco that's the dark fire cured is a different seed than the other types, isn't it?
Correct.
The air cured or the dark air cured or the Burley.
It has characteristics in some respect to dark air cured, with the exception of the curing process where you use open fires or mm-hmm. sawdust laden wood fires
mm-hmm.
to give it the proper color
uh-huh.
that's not given to the same type of tobacco if it's only air cured.
I see.
You can take dark fire cured tobacco and air cured. And in respect to the leaf being brown, fire cured, it will be a greenish tint, air cured.
Mm,
so without the fire and the necessary heat at the right time, mm-hmm. you won't have the quality of leaf that you will if it was fired.
So really, if you grew that tobacco without the proper curing process, you couldn't get very much forward. It wouldn't be very desirable tobacco.
It wouldn't be a desirable tobacco.
Mm-hmm.
It would not have the characteristics of necessarily dark air cured or dark fire cured, because it would be an in-between cure on it. Weight wise would be somewhat less due to the air curing process.
Now most of the seeds been certified through the University of Tennessee.
Well, to my knowledge, the ones we used first mm-hmm. came out of Tennessee.
I see.
And were in respect certified through the University of Kentucky to be grown here.
Okay.
And be offered for sale here in the state.
Do you remember any of the seed names or numbers?
What we raise is small stalk black mammoth variety.
Small stalk black mammoth?
Mammoth, that's uh-huh. correct. It is a large leaf, small stalk type tobacco.
Uh-huh.
And
I guess the seed is sold locally, but
right.
Mutants,
any of the seed growers specifically offer this type of seed for sale. And there's the old T.R. Madole and the improved T.R. Madole variety.
How do you spell that? T.R.
T.R. is initials.
Right.
and the M-A-D-O-L-E.
And now that's an older variety.
That's an older variety,
uh-huh.
Larger stalk, same quality of leaf, but it takes Rot Smart more heat to cure it down on account of stalk size and the stem size.
So the big development for the dark fire cured was getting a smaller stalk, so you'd need less heat?
In some respect, yes. Uh-huh. But disease-resistant qualities in the small stalk mammoth tobacco is next to nothing. If you have black shank or root rot or different soil-borne diseases, you can have complications with the small stalk.
Oh, right. So it's less disease-resistant.
It's less disease-resistant because it is a kind of a crossed-out variety that lost some of its resistance in breeding in the smaller stalk.
So it's just a gamble which way you go. There's advantages and disadvantages.
If you know your ground and the farm property you're used to,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you can take your variety to the soil and do well with it,
okay.
According to what disease history you've had in the past.
Okay. Let me take you through a season because, as you just mentioned, this is really an exclusive kind of crop to this area.
Sure it is.
It's part of Kentucky tobacco history, and it ought to be included. So some of these questions might sound very simple, but they need to be. Now, when you prepare the beds, they're prepared similar to other tobacco
beds. Exactly.
You use a chemical, or you usually burn?
We use a chemical.
Okay.
Methyl bromide.
Okay. And then, of course, you sow the seed and so forth. What about the way when you set the tobacco? How is it? It's set differently, probably. Farther apart than
the larger leaf fire tobacco can be set farther apart.
Mm-hmm.
Usually 36 to 40 inches in the row and a 38 to 40 inch row width.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So it's pretty well the same as dark air cured.
Okay.
Depending on the variety.
Uh huh. But a lot farther apart than the Burley.
A lot farther apart than Burley. Of course, an enormous leaf size. Mm-hmm. Of 16 to 18 inches spread, 3 to 3.5 feet in length on the upper leaves.
See. Now, this is based on acreage.
Correct.
And so now how, I understand you lease a lot of tobacco.
Personally, I raise it on share.
Oh, okay. How does that work out?
We raise a crop, the landowner provides everything for either half or us, the leasor, furnishes everything for 2/3.
Okay, so you get 2/3 if you provide everything.
Right.
If he provides everything,
it's half,
and you're providing the labor.
It varies from individual to individual and farm to farm.
Okay.
But that's basically the way we try to work it.
Okay.
Because we're usually leasing from farmers, and being farmers, we try to be as fair as
sure.
we can.
Now, has this become... I just talked to Mr. Brown, and he doesn't raise the fire cured. Has it become more or less a specialty by certain farmers?
A lot of people have let their fire base evolve off the property or have sold their bases because you have to maintain a different type barn.
Uh-huh.
And it's labor intensive
sure.
to the extreme as far as dark air cured and burnt.
Uh-huh. So we're not talking about a lot of different individuals here raising.
Okay. Not in the southern Kentucky area, no.
Mm-hmm. Okay. More in northern Tennessee. There's
right.
a lot more farmers.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Tennessee is just the opposite with us as far as they raise dark air cured in the lesser amounts, dark fire cured in the greater amounts.
I see. Okay. So you set the tobacco, and it's farther apart. About what time period do you set?
It's usually between the 20th of May and the 10th of June.
Okay. The growing season, do you not let it get as big? It just doesn't get as big naturally?
It will, as far as number of leaves per stalk, it will get as large as dark air cured.
Mm-hmm.
Leaf size is larger, sometimes lesser leaves per stalk.
So the fire cured has sometimes lesser leaves, but they're a lot bigger.
In respect, yes,
okay.
to dark air cured.
Okay. Is it top down pretty low?
12 to 14 leaves.
Just 12 to 14 leaves.
That's throwing away the dirt
gloves. Is it seems to me, you know, the plants being spread out a little more than the burley, you're topping it down further. Are you not making as much money, or are the leaves way out?
Well, in respect, it will weigh heavier. You know, ripened tobacco will weigh heavier than dark Arecure. 2,600 to 2,800 pounds to the acre is the norm. Unless that's in going for snuff type tobacco or chewing type tobacco. Cigar wrappers will weigh less, 1,800 to 2,000 pounds.
But they'll bring a little more money.
They will bring over the $2 mark.
Oh, I see. Now, do you make a conscious decision when you're doing it?
Everybody does.
You're either going to raise cigar wrappers, or you're going to raise it for snuff.
Snuff or the chewing feet.
How do you do that?
And personally, I try to split the middle and sort my backer according to what it is. Most of the time, it's snuff to chewing export.
Oh, you make the decision at the end when you're stripping it out. You try to separate it.
Well, you make the decision when the tobacco's cut, when it's harvested.
I see.
You let it stand till it's fully ripe. It will be heavy bodied, and it's more snuff to chewing. You cut it early. 4 weeks, no more than 4 weeks from topping. You're cutting your weight, but an exceptional quality will net you out approximately the same money.
So you'll see that out in the field, and you'll say, "Now these leaves look good. I'm gonna try to make this wrapper tobacco."
If you can make a wrapper crop, of course you will break the $2 mark on price per pound, and of course your yield will be 1,800 to 2,000 pounds. But dollar for dollar, if you hit it right. You will come out ahead in the wrapper, going wrapper.
Sometimes you can't tell, though, can you?
You can take a wrapper crop to the barn, get it too hot, put the green tint to it.
And that's it.
And that's right. Uh-huh. It's automatically snuff.
It's all gamble, then, isn't it?
It's a gamble. Uh-huh. It's a gamble from the day you gas that plant bed.
Okay, so in the middle of the season, then, like you said, at some point you make this decision, I'm going to cut early and try to have the wrapper, I'm going to let it go. And we'll just have the snuff tobacco.
Right.
After that decision's made, is this tobacco, the dark fire cured tobacco, handled any different? Taking it to the barn,
I'm an old timer in respect to cutting. We still split our stalk top to midway.
Is that right?
And and of course that age and curing, cut your curing time. We handle our tobacco the same. One dark air cured, dark fire cured. It's handling just exactly
right. And you do grow some dark air cured yourself?
Oh, yes. Mm-hmm. I raise all three varieties.
Oh, you do? Okay. But you split the tobacco?
Yes, sir.
Drape it over the stick.
Uh-huh. Six stalks to the stick.
Yeah.
And, of course, that aids in getting that sap, extra sap. Raising a small stalk variety, you cut your curing time by nearly anywhere from 3 to 5 days.
I see. Now you do that only for the dark fire cured, or you split
the dark air cured?
Yeah, you don't split the burley.
No, over the spike.
Right.
Most people have left splitting over the years because their fathers are no longer with them to show them how to do it, or they're never around people that practice it. But it comes natural to me after doing it 25 years.
Right. But there aren't very many left that split around
very
here.
Very few.
Yeah.
People can if they just pay attention.
The time and do it, right. Are there the dark air cured? There are a few people still split it too, you're saying?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay. But,
I mean, they're getting in smaller numbers every year.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Because, 90% of the reason is hard help. You cannot find hard help that will just take a splitting knife, go right to the field, and take it up. Know what they're doing.
Sure. Oh,
no. But spiking crews are hardly as, I don't say as careful as a splitting crew, but splitting crews are hard to find.
Yeah. Oh,
that's pretty much in the family type swapping work. That's the way we get it done.
Yeah. Your family, putting all the tobacco together, how much tobacco are you raising?
Burley, dark air cured, and dark fire cured, it's about 20 acres.
I see.
Because I work public work.
And you're working on the side, too.
Right.
Is that pretty much a necessity? Make a living?
Right now it is in in farming in general.
Yeah.
Supplemental incomes are handy as they can be.
Sure.
Tobacco farmers, because you probably already have been explained with Bradley Brown that even tobacco is falling upon its hardest times in years.
Yeah.
And dark fire cured is no exception.
Oh,
there is a steady overseas market for our quality tobacco, but with the monetary system being like it has and exchange rate, it has suppressed dark fire cured export.
Oh, I see. Our high dollar then has encouraged other people to...
Mostly from Africa.
They're buying African tobacco then.
Right.
Let me get back to the process then. So you take quite a bit of care. You split that tobacco. That sounds so strange to somebody from the Burley area because that sounds like ancient history.
Mm-hmm.
Is that an extra problem? Don't those stalks slide off that stick?
It just depends on the individual handling it, knowing that they will slide.
Mm-hmm.
And from the, say, the scalpel wagon into the barn, and once it's resting on the tear poles, it's there.
Now you use mostly the rail wagons.
Right.
You don't use the flat wagons much.
No.
Uh-huh.
Not in.
Yeah.
It's too much of a chance of bruising the leaf.
I see.
And good wilted tobacco, it won't damage it to a very small extent. But we like the mobility of the rail scaffold wagons.
Now you've been using those then for several years.
Since middle '60s.
Oh, okay. So they caught on here and stayed on.
They caught on here and are here to stay, I hope.
Yeah, well, you know, of course, again, that was something that I think caught on for a while in some of the Burley areas, but then people quit using them.
We use them in Burley only as a necessary have to get it up before it would just get rained on or something like this.
But use them almost exclusively with the dark fire cured and the air cured.
And dark air cured. Because it adds mobility in it also.
Okay.
Protection for the leaf.
Yeah. So you have the hanging of the dark tobacco is a little more involved and a little more careful again.
Well, we try to be careful. We want a buyer to come to our barn. Excuse me, Bradley. We sell in the barn.
Now you sell both kinds, the air cured and
dark air cured and dark fire cured.
Fire cured.
Off the farm.
You did,
Yeah. We've got the companies that seek out our crop is a better crop than the average now. Mm-hmm. There's good tobacco comes through the warehouse market.
Oh, yeah, I know.
But they are searching the country for some of the better tobacco.
Mm-hmm. The barn itself, now you've got it to the barn. Tell me about the fire-cured barns, how they differ from...
Most of your air-cured barns are... The cracks are left open between the box and plane around the outside.
Right.
On fire cured barns, they're stripped either underneath the boxing or on the outside of the boxing.
Mm-hmm.
The barns are as airtight as you can make them.
Seal them as much as you can.
Right. Ventilators in the top.
There are ventilators in the top.
And they are a must.
Okay, yeah.
Because,
Now, You're talking about a natural kind of ventilator. You don't hook them up to electricity and fans pulling.
Naturally open, hand open.
Okay. You know. And do you actually go around and caulk these things? You know, caulk around the barn?
Not really as a caulking as such, but they are stripped with wooden strips, just like the outer boxing plane.
Okay.
They're thinner and narrower, just enough to cover the crack between the boxing planks on the outside of the barn.
Okay.
And, that's to prevent air from coming in and also the smoke and heat from the fires from getting out.
Yeah. Of course, there's bound to be some draft, and that's what fuels the fire.
Right. You get draft underneath your doors or where there's, like I say, there needs to be some ventilation or air penetration for the combustion process.
Okay. Now, you've hung that tobacco. When do you start firing it?
Usually 3 to 5 days after it's... reaches the barn or the barn's full.
Okay, so you leave it in there and then five days later.
That's right. It's the barn doors are open for the tobacco can air.
Okay.
The top ventilators are open also
while
you're actually running open fires or sawdust covered fires.
Now tell me about that. You go in there and of course your tobacco is hanging down up to about what, 6 feet or 8 feet? Or
it's
you hang higher so it
usually head level on myself is just under 6 feet and I would just barely touch
the
lake.
Tobacco. Okay.
The tobacco has already started to yellow. Mm-hmm. If it's a good ripe tobacco, good ripe crop.
And when this was cut down the field, it's 3 or 4 feet high. That's all it is?
That's right. That's all it is. Approximately waist high.
Okay. And so it doesn't, very little of that tobacco touch each other because those, you know, the rafters are spaced plenty
right,
of apart.
They're spaced, most of them are spaced 32 inches, 32 to 34 inches.
Okay, so it's smaller, it's a smaller distance than you see in a burley barn.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Nearly half the distance.
Oh, I see. And most of these barns built years ago, I guess.
There again goes back to my family heritage. My great-grandfather built barns in South Logan County, and several of them are still standing. My granddad and dad have built barns on their own property and neighbors.
I see.
And these barns, a lot of them are still there and have been there 50, 60 years in time. And nearly all of them that were built in our neighborhood was stripped. Even the dark air cured barns were stripped to cover the cracks because they evolved from dark fire cured into the dark air cured.
I see. Right.
But the rails that the sticks of tobacco rest on are 30, 34 inches apart, top to bottom. And we hang our tobacco on every tier. And that way the tails from the tier above hang between two sticks in the tier below.
I see. It's so they do lap a little.
They lap considerably.
Oh, okay.
Every other tier is housed at each time. The odd numbers are run and the even numbers are run. And that way each stick is staggered between the two below it or the two above it.
Now let me run that by me again.
Okay.
Are you actually skipping a space then?
You skip every other tier as you come down.
Uh-huh.
All right.
And then you go back in there.
Go back in there with the ones in between.
Uh-huh.
And that way every other stick is between the two above it. And it's hanging between the two below it.
I see. Okay.
And that allows even temperature flow for all the sticks top to bottom.
Okay.
The heat has to travel in and around the back and take the moisture out of it and travel on to the top.
Okay. So you got this in there shingled just right.
Right. Approximately 8 inches apart.
Yeah. Now you go in there and what kind of fire do you build? You don't want a very big fire.
No, not on the start.
Uh-huh.
Tobacco is barely yellow.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it's hard to blue it, as we call it, or turn it green with too much heat, but you have to start them regular and slow. You warm that barn to about 95 degrees air temperature at head level.
I see.
And as your tobacco starts to turn brown and the yellow leaves it, you keep increasing your heat, and pretty soon you can take your fire in there, bed your fires with sawdust, slam the door on it, and let her go.
Get as hot as you want.
Hot as you want.
Because
the stem's about the only thing left.
I see.
And you continue heat firing this tobacco with the open fire or bedded fire with sawdust until the stem's gone.
Now, you know, anybody that's got a fireplace knows that you got to keep working their fire. What do you have a whole line of little fires?
A line of fires. You can either make them individual and ring them with sawdust, two sticks of wood pushed together, or a lot of them, since the sawmill industry is close by, they take slabs from the sawmill, lay them in a windrow, and ignite it about once every 4 feet. Bed all those slabs in sawdust, and the sawdust continues the burning process.
I see.
And also keeps the fire from burning out of control.
Too much, right. Yeah. Now, isn't that an expensive proposition, or can you get this stuff fairly low cost? Or?
Slabs are, a truckload of slabs are $30.
Okay.
I mean, that's all you can pile on. They're banded together, and usually in 8 foot lengths, and the bundle's 4 feet across, 8 by 8 feet long, and a truckload was probably 4 to 5 bundles.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll probably cure 2 acres at the back.
Oh, okay. So
sawdust is getting harder to find because it's in so much more demand.
Is that right?
More
people. Well, they're using it for different kinds of things.
They're using it, a lot of them use it in the dairy industry to bed calves with. These sawmills nowadays, a lot of them are chipping their slabs.
Mm-hmm.
Their slabs are getting hard to find unless you speak for them ahead of time.
Mm-hmm.
And with sawdust, there's so many people in line from in this area. They come up into Kentucky from Tennessee to get the dust because of the lumber business.
Isn't.
There's not enough to keep up a lot of times, especially in the
during that time
summer, period. Late summer when everybody's wanting to get everything ready for the curing season.
Well, do you stockpile ahead then, put sawdust in the barn?
I try to get my sawdust about the 1st of June when everybody's combining.
The way
that their trucks are tied up and I can get mine then.
So, reviewing that process, you start out with low fires.
Right.
And you watch the tobacco cure.
Right.
And the more it cures, the hotter the fires can be until you ultimately, when there's nothing but stem left, you can just heat it up.
Right. Warm it up. But you always note that the fire cured tobacco in a barn cures from the top down because that's where the heat accumulates the most. Now, you can watch the bottom and get a general idea if you're taking care of the bottom tiers.
Mm-hmm.
The top tiers will take care of their cells because of the heat being regenerated from the roof down.
Okay, so you kind of watch the bottom and whatever it's doing up above, that's better.
Even doing better.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What can go wrong in this process? If you get too hot at the beginning?
Too hot at the beginning, you've most likely have set a green color on the lower tier.
And that's...
It would have to be stripped to itself and the sail would be hurt. It's about the worst thing that can happen. The second worst thing is not having enough heat, getting house burn, stem damage, and leaf damage.
I see.
From not enough heat. Not when it needs it the most.
How long does this heating process last?
In good right, full-size tobacco, 5 to 10 days.
That's all? You just have to watch that fire for 5 or 10 days?
It's a constant process to keep the heat, keep it regular from 5 to 10 days.
Okay.
Depending on the weather season, the outside. If it's inclement, raining, it may go longer.
Uh-huh.
But if it's drying and arid time, it could be less.
Now, I guess the obvious question is, do very many people lose their barns doing this?
Somebody loses one every year.
Is that right?
There's multiples of them that's either left unattended, the wind get up, not take the proper attention, get them too hot, and not know it, and broken stick, fall into a fire, and there you get a flash fire from the stick of tobacco that's pale, or a barn without ventilators, and you have the natural gas leaving at the back accumulating atop the barn and blow one up.
And there are some people try to fire cure in a barn that isn't properly ventilated.
That's correct. You get a gas accumulation in the upper part of the barn, and I have seen them burn the top tiers out of the barn, and the lower tiers never be hurt.
Is that right?
That's right. Huh. The leaf can just disintegrate and fall down through, green to back.
Now, after that 10 days, are you ready to strip then?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. Well, that means I'm going to continue there then. This is side 2 of a tape with David Dotson. We're talking about dark fire-cured tobacco. Now, you said it's not done then after the heat's done.
No, you just started on fire tobacco.
Okay.
Of course, dark fire tobacco is... it's grown and cured for a specific market, and what the market demands from this type of tobacco is a type of flavor, aroma for the nose, a different type of flavor for the taste, and the smoke is actually what gives this tobacco that aroma and flavor.
And when you're talking about it's for a specific market, you're talking about not only there are specific companies that want it.
Right.
And it, for specific purposes.
To blend it for either pipe, chewing, snuff, whatever.
Okay.
And
who are some of those companies that want it?
United States Tobacco Company, and RC Owen Tobacco Company over in Gallatin, Tennessee.
Okay.
They are usually either processing it into twist of their own manufacture, or they're purchasing it for the export market. And
now, there's not very much of this grown.
In respect to Southern Kentucky, Logan County, no. Mm-hmm. Tennessee, several thousand pounds, several million pounds are raised in northern and north central Tennessee.
Okay, but now this is a different tobacco than the flue cure in the south.
Correct.
Okay, so we're talking about with northern Tennessee and this little bit in Kentucky, that's about it,
for the foreign South African tobacco.
Now there has been some grown in there. There is some foreign competition then for the dark product here.
Quality is lacking. It will substitute though, and foreign buyers, because of the extra expense that they incur buying U.S. tobacco, substitute South African.
Okay. But has that foreign market been around very long?
That foreign market's been there a good while.
Okay.
Because most of it used to come out of what was the Belgian Congo. I don't know what it is now.
Yeah,
that country's evolved into.
Uh-huh.
But we particularly have hit an export market on what we've raised for the last 3 or 4 years. It goes to Denmark.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a particular type of chewing tobacco that the Danish have taken up
picked
to.
Up to, okay.
And
there's nothing special that you have to think about. They just kind of come to like this tobacco.
That's correct. It's okay. They have a broker that buys it here in the United States to their quality specifications.
Mm-hmm.
They want a certain quality because they want to do it into a certain job. They want to twist it or roll it or grind it into a certain type of blend for them or a certain type of use.
Okay.
And it's worked out great for us.
Mm-hmm. So the dark fire cure market is pretty stable, and there's not a whole lot going into government support programs and that kind of thing.
The lower grades that are purchased through warehouse market are still a problem to the as far as going into the pool.
I see.
And under government loan.
Yeah.
But the upper grades, snuff companies can take those and make them into their twist wrapper, their twist tobaccos, grind the lower grades and put them in the snuff.
Okay.
But they've got a use for everything that they buy.
Now the dark, let me go back, I'll get to that question in a minute, but let me go back. That tobacco has had the fire on it. What do you do next to it?
Next you're burning only sawdust.
Oh, you burn only sawdust, okay.
You're putting a smoke finish, and more smoke shine, the more smoke flavor it has, the more quality shows out of it. You're actually just dressing it up to make it more attractive to a fire tobacco buyer.
Well, what's that tobacco look like in the barn after the fires have been in there? Is it,
okay.
Has it got a smoky color?
It's got a satiny sheen to it
that
is actually the smoke from the fire and the sawdust that's been burnt.
And then the sawdust after that gives it even a slicker?
Even more.
Okay.
How
long does that sawdust treatment last?
You will, of course, this day and time, the 10th of October, I've already started putting smoke on it. I'll carry it whenever the weather's favorable. The tobacco needs to be in case, in order, pliable, soft. The more smoke it will take on it.
Oh, so
every time it comes in, I apply more smoke.
Okay.
I've got sawdust in the barn.
Ready to go.
Straw underneath the dust to set it off.
Uh-huh.
All I've got to do is roll my sawdust over on top of the straw.
Mm-hmm.
Lighter up.
You'll do that every time it's in case now for how long?
Approximately the 15th of December.
Oh, okay. So you keep every time it comes in.
That's right.
Or as much as you can keep up with it, you'll put some more smoke on
right.
it. That keeps improving the quality.
Improving the quality.
Okay.
It will improve lesser quality tobacco till it's, I won't say it will substitute for higher quality tobacco, but it will.
Help it out.
It'll give it every advantage.
Right, I see.
But,
and by the middle of December then, you're ready to start stripping.
I'm ready to get that barn down and start to work on it.
Okay. Now, how do you, how does that process go?
Well,
I was talking to Mr. Brown about the dark air cured. Do you use the same kind of terminology on that? For example, you know, with the top leaves being called leaf.
Correct.
Okay.
And it's seconds and trash. It's seconds and trash and throw away.
So it's stripped out very much like the other dark tobaccos.
In accordance to how it's sold as a rule, you have some companies that will let you sort your tobacco and put the leaf and the seconds together.
Okay.
According to what price they offer you or to what market they are trying to meet.
Now, the dark fire-cured Kentucky farmer is in a curious situation because he can't sell at a warehouse in Kentucky.
That's correct. No market.
Okay, there's no market. You can take it to Tennessee.
Correct.
Now, has your family done that?
Yes. Okay. Oh, yeah, numerous times.
And you've also sold it directly off the farm?
Correct.
Now, that's the way you've been going in recent years?
In recent years. During the last 10 years.
Okay. Now, is there one company that you kind of depend on to come back every year?
We solicit one company. Uh-huh. And if we don't have exactly the type that they're looking for, and we have more than one that you know, gives us at least a look or an advantage.
I see.
Knowing the type of tobacco we raise, and we'll give it a look. If it'll work for them, they'll show their interest by offering a contract.
Okay. So now you know in advance the company you've been dealing with, you know how to strip it out in reference to what they've been wanting, or do they let you know in advance?
They usually come to the barn and take stalks unstripped, and look at the quality or the lack of quality, whichever, and offer according to their use or their contract that they've got with the buyer. They're usually an order buyer, and fitting a certain need.
Now, most of these company representatives that come out to your farm, are they local people that work for the company? Or are they, of course, you know, this is kind of a specialty. Are they transient buyers that deal in other markets?
Usually they're individuals that raise tobacco and live right here local.
I see.
Been with these people for several years.
Okay. So you know the individuals?
As a rule, know the individual and know generally what type of tobacco he's looking for.
Uh-huh.
And okay. If they usually have orders for different qualities of tobacco and to fit different needs, and then have usually got a contract to fill that need, and they go out and hunt enough pounds to fill it.
Now, all that tobacco is hand tied,
or bundled,
or what?
Bundled,
or bundled, and so there's no particular way that since you're dealing directly, you know, they can tell you what they want or
right, and how they want it stripped, and how they want it tied, if tied.
Yeah. Now, what do you mean by a bundle? Like, is that like the same as sheets that you see? Or?
No, it's usually a single leaf bundle.
Uh-huh.
In dark tobacco, it'll weigh 35 to 50 pounds.
It's smaller than a bale, then.
Right, like about a half bale.
About a half a bale. Do you use the baling boxes the same way, or?
We usually use a rack.
Uh-huh.
And it's similar to a bale box, only it's open all the way around. It's just a rack that you can
stack it in there.
Stack it in there. Just one leaf, single leaf, and tie it up with cotton string.
Stripping rooms are pretty complicated around here then, because you got bales and I guess people hand tying, and then you might be doing something else too.
That's right. It just depends on what you've got, what they want, and how they want it done.
One thing I didn't ask you in the growing process, and let me go back to that for a minute. The dark air cure around here is the one sucker tobacco.
Correct.
What this dark fire cure tobacco, does it, you have trouble with suckers on it?
It suckers like birdie.
It's so you got a lot of suckers.
Two suckers per leaf joint.
Okay. But now the chemicals you use pretty much takes care of that.
Yeah, you don't same as Merlin and dark air cured.
Don't have much problem.
Okay. But if you miss, you got trouble.
Okay, go back. And of course, you had to bend a lot to get that because you're there
whole lot,
short tobacco.
A lot closer to the grain.
Okay. How's that relationship? Now, you've been raising it since your grandfather, or your family's been raising this dark fired cured. Has that been the relationship long term, people coming to the barn and buying it?
Well, in respect, I guess it's evolved off of the warehouse market, where it used to be that growers knew the buyers. They saw them on the floor market every year. Mm-hmm. And in respect, it's just, I guess, quality, I guess, has drove some of the warehouse buyers to the country, mm-hmm. made them selective.
Okay. Do you ever feel slighted in any way? You know, one buyer might come to you and buy some tobacco at your barn, and then another buyer buys some at another barn, and you find out the neighbor got more money, or?
Not really. Usually, more or less, price-wise, most time is revolved around quality.
Okay. And everybody, I guess, pretty much knows what everybody else is getting. And
That's pretty well right. Now, only the difference is they might be offering for a certain contract another company or another export order that they've got may allow them to pay more money at a certain time than another.
Will the price then vary during the season sometimes?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
It can.
Okay. So you might.
Well, if you sell early and the tobacco's not there to fill these contracts, they may up the money to attract some more people.
Later in the season.
Right. I mean, if they find out that there's not enough quality tobacco out there to fill what they need, they may up the price and try to draw enough tobacco to fill their need.
Now, this dark fire cured, do you have it ready to sell before Christmas, or is it usually after?
What? The floor market usually sets the country market, mm-hmm. and it doesn't open up until the 17th of January, I do believe.
That's in Tennessee.
That's in Tennessee.
So the dark fire cure doesn't open until middle of January. Right. And that process is stretched out because of all the extra steps.
As rule, it follows in behind of the dark air cured market because those warehouses in Tennessee sell all three types.
Okay.
Burley, dark air, and dark fire.
So by that time, their floors are filled with less of the Burley and the air dark, or the dark air cured tobacco,
right.
And there's more room for the fire cured.
Right.
And you said in northern Tennessee, there's a lot more of the dark fire cured than there is the dark air cured.
And in respect, yes.
Mm-hmm. How has that market gone the last few years? Has the price fluctuated?
The warehouse market has fluctuated somewhat. The selective buying in the country has, well, it's been pretty well steady as far as the snuff companies buying.
So there's still a pretty steady demand for the dark fire cured.
I believe it's going to be there for a long time yet to come.
Is that because there's more people into the snuff, or because of some of the foreign markets really picking up? Or?
The foreign market hadn't hurt us any, but snuff popularity has helped some companies that are predominantly producing snuff. Mm-hmm. And snuff tobacco is a whole lot easier to grow for these companies because it doesn't need quite the care that your better leaf and your cigar wrapper does.
Well, what's happened to the government leases then? Have they increased those or decreased them over the last few years? Or if there's a steady market, you don't see the leases getting bigger, do you?
No, acreages actually have been cut. But as far as producing more pounds per acre now, the norm mm-hmm. has kept up with, even with the cuts, with the demand for that dark fire cured type tobacco. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, more people are going to snuff, more people are chewing, and that increases dark air and dark fire cured popularity right on.
What about the farmers? You know, you've already mentioned a couple of skills that not very many people have, and of course the extra care. Are there going to be people in the next 10, 20 years that'll be growing this dark fire cured?
It'll be grown if the government continues their program of price support mm-hmm. and doesn't open up the
Go ahead.
doesn't open up the acreage allotment system, just don't drop the supply support and open the acres wide open. Because the popularity of fire tobacco as far as growing it isn't all that great because of the extra man hour.
Right.
And every time a farmer loses a barn to fire, very few of them are being replaced.
Rebuilt.
That grower will probably lease his crop to another grower for another year. Because the price of a dark fired barn is anywhere from $6,500 to $10,000 getting one built.
I don't understand how the price support system works with farmers that sell on the farm. There's still, after it is graded at some point, there's still a guaranteed price there for you.
No.
There isn't. No, you're gone. You're out of the process.
We pay the government grade.
Whatever
and we pay the no net cost, whatever's been said. Our tobacco is graded by a government grader sometime during its process period,
right.
Not as we deliver
and that's
for
reported back to you of how much your fee will be, or
well, I mean, the fee is already set.
Oh, okay.
So many
right.
dollars per hundred.
Yeah.
Pounds as it's scaled.
Okay.
As it's scaled, we pay our no net cost and our grading fee. We pay the grading fee even though it's not graded as it would be at a warehouse.
I see. So it's kind of the system still is in there.
You're right. The system affects us just like on off the farm sale as it would a warehouse sale.
Okay.
Only difference is no floor charges.
Okay. What about the are there pin hookers then in the area? Are there people that try to be intermediaries between you and the companies?
Well, usually the companies that we deal with have individuals that have bought tobacco in the country for them for years, and they do it for a percentage.
Oh, so they're essentially pin hookers to begin with.
Well, they are employees of the tobacco company.
All right.
And they are hired for a percentage. So much per pound, per 100 pounds of tobacco that they actually comes in under their contract that they write, and they get paid so much.
There's not very many speculators out there.
No.
Just trying to.
No. Those days are
gone.
Over.
Okay. I think I've pretty much covered most of the questions I have. You did say there are occasionally some fire cured barns built, though.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Very few.
Okay.
Very few of them been replaced.
Okay. So the load's falling on fewer and fewer farmers.
Fewer and fewer producers. That's right.
Okay. Well, I appreciate you talking to me.
I appreciate your interest.
Okay.